Nothing stands still in the car business. We're constantly seeing changes in inventory, incentives, sales, service, and all other areas of the dealership. If you're looking to break through the noise and find insights from real dealers, automotive influencers, and leaders in sectors like technology and marketing, then shift into high gear with the Walk Around podcast, powered by JM&A Group, a leader in F&I solutions, dealership training, and insurance services for dealers nationwide.
Want to dive deeper into the topics you hear about on Daily Drive? We're offering listeners a special offer, 20% off a one-year Automotive News digital subscription. That gets you access to all of our news, information, and analysis made for automotive industry leaders like you. Go to autonews.com/dailydrivepromo to redeem. Welcome to Daily Drive for Tuesday, April 30th, 2024. I'm Jamie Butters, Executive Editor of Automotive News in Detroit.
And I'm Kellen Walker in Las Vegas. Today on the show, more rough earnings reports for public dealership groups. Automakers aren't faring much better in new reports from companies in Europe. And Elon Musk fires two senior Tesla execs and their entire staffs. Plus, Automotive News has announced its 2024 PACE Awards winners. We'll hear from one of them.
What I would like to emphasize is how hard it actually is to develop both modern, efficient software and safe and reliable software at the same time.
Apex AI CEO Jan Becca joins the show in a few minutes, but first, let's run through all the news you need to know to keep up in the auto industry.
Penske Automotive Group's net income dropped 28% in the first quarter to $216 million. It cited higher interest, vehicle floor plan costs, and lower earnings from its investment in Penske Transportation Solutions. Revenue came in at almost $7.5 billion, up 1.5% from a year earlier. Lithia Motors' developing captive finance company, Driveway Finance, lost $2 million during the first quarter. That's compared with a $21 million loss a year earlier, as it closes in on profitability. Lithia estimated in a first quarter investor presentation that Driveway Finance would break even or possibly produce up to $10 million in income for 2024 after operating at a loss for the past few years. And Asbury Automotive says in its first quarter earnings report that 10 of its stores are for sale. Asbury didn't provide valuations on the dealerships or other real estate up for sale. The retail group posted $147 million in net income in the period, down 19% from the first quarter of 2023. It brought in record revenue of $4.2 billion, up 17%.
Stellantis says its revenue fell 12% in the first quarter on lower volumes, unfavorable product mix, and foreign exchange dynamics. Consolidated shipments were down 10% in the quarter to about 1.3 million vehicles. Net revenue was 41.7 billion euros or $44.6 billion. That was short of analyst expectations of 42.6 billion euros. Stellantis does not report full financial results in the first and third quarters. Volkswagen Group reiterated its revenue and margin targets for 2024. That's after posting a 20% drop in first quarter operating profit. The group's results were hit by lower sales and higher costs as it gears up to launch more than 30 new models across all of its brands. Earnings before interest and taxes were 4.6 billion euros or $4.92 billion. And Mercedes-Benz is vowing to steer clear of entering a discount race. It says it will defend high pricing levels for its luxury cars as model changeovers and supply chain bottlenecks cause quarterly profits to fall. The automaker reported a 30% drop in first quarter earnings before interest and tax to 3.86 billion euros or just over $4.1 billion.
Elon Musk has dismissed two Tesla senior executives and plans to cut hundreds more employees. Tech publication The Information reports that Musk is frustrated by falling sales and the pace of job cuts so far. It cited the CEO's email to senior managers. The report says Rebecca Tannucci, senior director of the electric vehicle maker's supercharger business, and head of the new vehicles program, Daniel Ho, are gone as of this morning. Musk also plans to dismiss everyone working for Tannucci and Ho, including the roughly 500 employees who work in the supercharger group. It was not clear how many employees worked for Ho. Tesla will also dissolve its public policy team, which was led by former executive Rohan Patel.
And U.S. auto safety regulators have finalized a rule that would require automatic emergency braking systems on all passenger cars and light trucks by 2029. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration finalized the rule on Monday. It would require all vehicles to be equipped with automatic braking systems that would stop and avoid a collision with another car at speeds up to 62 miles per hour. The rule is part of the Bipartisan Infrastructure Act, which directed federal regulators to adopt minimum performance standards relating to automatic emergency braking. The final rule says braking systems must apply automatically at speeds up to 90 miles per hour when a collision with an oncoming vehicle is imminent, and 45 miles per hour when the system detects a pedestrian. And those are today's headlines. Jamie, what are your thoughts on last night's PACE Awards? What innovations surprised you or caught your eye that we'll see coming to market soon?
A lot of interesting things. You know, one that kind of stood out for me was UVI. It's something I'd heard about. I'd kind of seen references to it in stories, but it means a lot to me when the PACE judges give and these awards. These judges are really veterans in the industry. Many of them have spent decades in the auto industry. They examine these nominees really carefully. They spend hours and hours really prosecuting, you know, is it new? Does it add value? You know, what's the customer doing with it? And the UVI one is interesting. You basically drive the car through, some prearranged cameras that are connected by computers, and it'll find all the scratches and dings, little things that might not show up on a regular photograph. And it can also spot, you know, oil leaks in the bottom of the car. So a very efficient way to quality proof, kind of really designed for, or it seems to be utilized first at dealerships, but you could see it really being effective at auto auctions, even at factories as a quality check. So really the chance to see a technology that could proliferate throughout the industry. Very exciting stuff. It's always just a fun night.
Gotcha. And coming up, we'll hear from Apex AI CEO Jan Becca about the technology that won an award for his company last night at the PACE Awards. That's next on Daily Drive.
If you work in automotive, there's one thing that's always true. Your time is money. Staying up to date with what's trending may seem overwhelming, but it doesn't have to be. I'm Mark Spoto, one of the hosts of the Walk Around podcast, powered by JM&A Group. We talk to leaders who are transforming the automotive landscape today, and your time will be well spent learning something new with every episode. Our third season launches this May with even more automotive voices you don't want to miss. Check us out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Even Alexa. Just say, "Hey Alexa, play the Walk Around podcast." New episodes are coming soon.
Welcome back to Daily Drive. I'm Jamie Butters with Kellen Walker. An innovation in LiDAR, enhanced vehicle occupant monitoring, and a new approach to auto body painting were among 13 Automotive News PACE Award winners announced Monday night. Honorees this year include suppliers Dana, Valeo, and Yazaki, as well as technology firms BlackBerry QNX and Apex AI. Jan Becca is CEO of Apex AI, which won for its Apex Grace software development kit. I caught up with him after the awards ceremony in Detroit.
Jan Becca, welcome to Daily Drive.
Thank you.
So you just won a PACE Award for your company's work. Tell the people who aren't familiar with Apex AI what it does.
Yeah, we did. So what we do is a software development kit for developing automotive mobility software. So a software development kit is a set of tools, libraries that contain all the functions that are really common to all kinds of mobility applications. So for instance, how do you access data from a sensor? How do you transport data into the cloud? How do you start processes on a computer? And so on, such that the application developer doesn't really need to worry about all these things. It's really comparable to having an SDK for iPhone or Android applications, which Apple and Android provide, such that writing an app has become so easy that every high school student today can write an app for a smartphone.
But a software development kit that will produce code that is automotive caliber, right? It has to be so bulletproof, right?
Correct. So our software is certified to ISO 26262. That's the automotive functional safety norm. And there to the category ASIL D, that stands for automotive safety integrity level D. Therefore, A, B, C, and D is the strictest.
So Apex AI, I'm assuming that means there's artificial intelligence involved in your kit?
Yeah, so we really enable AI. We enable AI to run in a safe and reliable manner on all kinds of mobility, such that the AI developers don't need to worry about making AI safe and reliable.
I mean, many of us, our first experiences with AI were a generative AI creating fabulations and making up facts. But your system isn't, you're not going to allow software to do that.
No. So we actually, we start to utilize AI for other ways to make the development process more efficient. But for the time being, we're really focusing on enabling AI developers to make AI applications in the car really reliable and safe so that they can run on a road without the user, the driver, having to worry about it.
Well, big distinction between the PACE Awards and the PACE Pilot is, of course, the PACE Awards have to be, you know, in production with a customer. And your company has only been around for 6 years?
Correct.
That's pretty fast for a PACE winner. How'd that happen? And tell us your backstory.
Yeah, so we started the company late 2017, so a little over 6 years ago. We based our software on an open source SDK, which I helped getting started 15 years ago. So fortunately, we didn't have to start from scratch, but we had a solid foundation that many of our customers today already used in open source, and they needed a safe, reliable, and automotive grade version, which they're now getting from us. We started to work with automotive companies already in 2018, so one and a half years into the company. But it turns out that automotive companies, as I'm sure you know, are not the fastest when it comes to development processes and getting innovations into products. So in between, we then also started to work with other mobility companies, so companies in other mobility verticals, agriculture, mining, construction, and most recently boating. 2 months ago, we announced a production deal with Brunswick, the largest recreational boat manufacturer in the US. And time from start of development to product is much, much, much faster. That just happened in a year and a half, with product launch next year.
Who can you tell us that you're working with in the automotive space?
So the automotive space, the one customer we can talk about today is Volkswagen Moya. The Moya is a rideshare arm of Volkswagen, which currently uses an ID bus, which has been now announced a while ago, for ride pooling, ride share in Hamburg and Germany, and most recently in Austin here in the US. And our software runs on a central computer, taking care of the whole passenger monitoring, passenger interaction, and also the whole vehicle abstraction. So it's sort of the central computer in that vehicle.
Where do you see your growth coming from in the auto space?
So in the short term, more in non-core auto verticals, such as agriculture, culture, construction, mining, midterm in automotive major OEM projects. We are in the process of negotiating and signing a couple this year. But then, you know, development, time of development is still a couple of years. So on the road in major car programs, we'll see it in a couple of years.
And do you see more opportunities outside of automotive? It seems like a technology suite that could be applicable across a lot of industries.
Absolutely. So we have investors coming from the trucking space. Airbus is one of our investors looking into applications in the aerospace domain, obviously. So really any application that requires either safety or reliability or functional safety guarantees is a good application for us. Not even limited to mobility, but also, you know, we work with medical device manufacturers where reliability is key. So really any device that needs modern software and reliability.
You are still privately held?
Correct.
Is an IPO in your future, or do you plan, do you aim to stay private?
And staying private is actually great. So we have a number of investors from the mobility space, but also financial investors. For the time being, we think we're going to stay private.
I presume you're kind of still in ramp-up mode, though, where it's maybe investor-funded, but growing very rapidly.
Correct. So we've now in 6 years grown into 5 countries, US, Germany, Sweden, Japan, and Korea, with offices, several offices in these countries. We have customers worldwide. We are still looking for new investors, both financial and strategic investors in the mobility space.
How many employees do you have at this point?
We at this point have around 100 employees, as I said, in those 5 countries.
Globally. Still pretty lean then.
Yeah, I mean, the advantage of developing software is you don't need a large team, you need a skilled team. So we focus on quality and not on quantity.
What are the next milestones for you then?
So next milestones are getting into more automotive production programs, which we are working on this year. And beyond that, then diversify into more mobility domains, mobility verticals.
What else does the automotive news audience, the Daily Drive audience, need to know about Jan Becca and Apex AI?
So what I would like to emphasize is how hard it actually is to develop both modern, efficient software and safe and reliable software at the same time. This is really our core expertise that we help our customers to accelerate.
What does winning a PACE Award mean for your company?
Winning a PACE Award is actually great recognition of what we've achieved and how far we've come in just 6 years.
With this SDK, what is the ultimate value for the automakers that might be subscribing? Is it a subscription? Do they just buy? They don't just buy it off the shelf and plug it in. Do they pay monthly or annually?
So we provide a license to developers so that the developers can use our software, and then it's really up for negotiation how we then do the deployment agreement with the customer. The value we provide to OEMs is really that they can focus on the core application, on what differentiates them relative to their competitors, whereas we take all the groundwork or the base software away from them, which the end customer, the consumer, the driver does not see.
Do you have an origin story into your interest in automobiles? Mm-hmm.
So I actually started to work on autonomous vehicles 26, 27 years ago. Wow. During my PhD work in the late 90s.
Where was that?
That was in Germany.
Okay.
I worked at the TU Braunschweig in northern Germany, mm-hmm. at the time together with Volkswagen, automating the endurance testing on their test tracks. Then I worked for Bosch a couple of years developing what we called at the time advanced driver assistance systems. Took 10, 12, 15 years for them to get into production. So very long innovation times for comparably simple systems. Then I moved to Stanford University to work there as a researcher during the DARPA Urban Challenge, which was great. That was really the revolution, the event which turned advanced research into production development. And that's already almost 20 years ago. So a long time ago. Then I worked for Bosch for a couple of years again, doing work in robotics and helping to get ROS, the robot operating system, started, which we then forked in 2017 when we started Apex AI, and then made it real-time reliable and robust. And that's what we are now starting to sell to OEM customers in both automotive and non-automotive.
So when I started covering the auto industry about 26 years ago, mm-hmm. It was when Toyota and Honda were just bringing out hybrids, mm-hmm. and they saw it as a stepping stone to electric vehicles and then mm-hmm. Fuel cells. You were starting on automated vehicles, automated driving at that time. Mm-hmm. How do you look back over this quarter century mm-hmm. or so and the progress that's been made mm-hmm. and what still needs to come?
Mm-hmm. So with respect to vehicle automation, 25, 26 years ago, that was pure research. And we actually at the time did not imagine that we would ever see fully automated driverless vehicles running on roads today. It was always 20 years out, and 20 years was really a moving target. So it stayed 20 years for many, many years. It's really great to see that we now, as San Francisco, for instance, you can actually, within a few minutes, get a Waymo automated vehicles and just ride through the city without a driver in a really reliable way. I just came here actually directly from Beijing, from the Beijing Auto Show, where it was amazing to see and both impressive and a little threatening to see how far the Chinese manufacturers have come in just a couple of years. I saw over a dozen of what we would call software-defined vehicles. Mm-hmm. So vehicles with a central computer, domain controllers, over-the-air update capability, a dozen cameras around the vehicle, many, many LiDARs. Many of them already in production, available for purchase for Chinese customers. Whereas here in the US and in Europe, we are still several years away from that, and really the only at the time competitive manufacturer here is really Tesla. Mm-hmm. And you can buy many of these vehicles from brands that at least I had not heard of before. You can buy, Chinese customers can buy them today. So Chinese is China's accelerating big time.
All right, so you're on the cutting edge of technology. You were a robot-powered car guy from mm-hmm. the beginning, but you also are a fan of the classic cars.
Oh, yeah. I drive with friends a couple of classic car rallies every year, mostly in Europe. I've restored an air-cooled Porsche, a 997S, so the rare white-body model. Most recently, I restored a 69 Chevy C10 truck with my kids, which is now up and running, and they're driving to college on a daily basis, and they're really proud with it. Yeah, so I like to work on old cars. So I've been saying either it runs Apex AI software or it doesn't run software at all.
Jan Becker, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Jamie. That was a terrific evening.
That's Daily Drive for today. I'm Jamie Butters.
And I'm Kellen Walker. Thanks to Automotive News executive producer Jake Neer, as well as our own Gail Howe, John Hutter, George Weikamp, and Lindsay Chappell for their reporting for today's podcast. You can get the latest news on tech and innovation, earnings results, and everything happening in the auto industry at autonews.com.
Come back tomorrow for a conversation with Jeff Morrison, General Motors Vice President of Global Purchasing and Supply Chain, about the automaker's partners that also won PACE Awards last night. We'd love to hear from you. Let us know what you think of the show and the topics we covered today. Send us an email at dailydrive@autonews.com or leave us a voicemail at 313-444-2774. And if you enjoy the podcast, remember to like, leave a review, and subscribe so you never miss an episode.